This is an ABC podcast.
G'day, Dr. Carl here. Now, over the next few weeks, we've got a bundle of great moments in science from our mysterious historical story vault. Yes, it's a wondrous place full of science stories spanning back several decades. And we begin our dive into the archives with this explosive story from 2004 about anesthetic bombs. But I'll let myself explain it to you.
This is the problem. Take a pair of scales of the old-fashioned type.
The knock-em-all-out anesthetic bomb has been appearing in movies for over half a century. The good guys, who are either totally good or lovable, good-hearted rascals who want to rob some bad rich people, well, they need to get past some heavily armed guards. Now, good guys never kill anybody, so they pull out the anesthetic bomb and toss it over to the guards, who immediately fall to the ground, unconscious. You know they're not dead, because the good guys go to the trouble of handcuffing them before continuing on their mission. The anesthetic bomb was used in the latest re-release of Ocean's 11, and you can be sure that it will appear in future movies. The anesthetic bomb has, according to legend, being used in house robberies when the villains make their way through a house of innocent sleeping occupants without waking them. And of course, its use has been proposed in commercial jetliners to harmlessly subdue violent passengers or terrorists. The anesthetic bomb isn't designed just to affect a region of the body, like a leg, or just a small patch, like a patch of torn skin. No. In the movies, the bomb needs to instantaneously give general anesthesia, making the person unconscious instead. A person under general anesthesia is unaware of their environment, can't feel pain, can't move, and has no memory of what happens during the anesthesia. General anesthesia took a long time to invent. In the Odyssey, Homer wrote about an Egyptian herbal drink called nepenthe, probably either opium or cannabis, which eased grief and banished sorrow. In 1799, the English chemist Sir Humphry Davy discovered that the laughing gas nitrous oxide could relieve the pain of his infected tooth, but his claim was ignored. By 1842, an American surgeon, Crawford Long, had started using ether as an anesthetic, but he did not publish his results until 1849. So the credit for the first use of true surgical anesthesia usually goes to William Morton, an American dentist who gave ether to a patient having a tumour removed from their neck in October 1846 at the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. Now, in the early days of anesthesia, usually only one drug was given. But today, several drugs are given at the same time to achieve many different aims, such as unconsciousness, muscle relaxation, loss of memory, paralysis, and immobility. However, these drugs travel via the blood to the brain, so along the way, they can affect other organs in the body. So the anesthetist has to monitor very closely the patient's heart rate and rhythm, blood pressure, breathing rate and oxygen level in the blood. It's a very fine line between being conscious, being in a state of general anesthesia, and being dead. Now, a good but tragic example of this is the story of the Moscow anesthetic bomb. On Wednesday, 23rd of October 2002, over 800 people were watching Nord Ost, a classic Russian musical in the Moscow Musical Theatre. Suddenly, over 50 heavily armed Chechen militants rushed in, held the audience hostage and laid explosives inside the theatre and at all the exits. They then demanded that Russia withdraw its army from Chechnya or else they would kill the hostages. Just before dawn on Saturday the 26th of October, Olga, a 21-year-old survivor, saw billowing clouds of a grey gas drift into the theatre. She covered her face with her scarf and dropped to the floor and was one of the few hostages who did not lose consciousness. Almost immediately, Russian soldiers stormed the theatre, shooting the Chechens. Even 2 days after the rescue, two-thirds of the surviving hostages were in hospital in a serious condition. The final figure is that at least 117 hostages died from the effects of the still unknown anaesthetic gas. You can see that it is very difficult to make somebody unconscious without damaging or killing them. Doctors have to study medicine for 5 or so years and then spend several years in general hospital training. And then if they want to become an anaesthetist, they have to spend an extra 4+ years of study. If safe and effective anaesthetic bombs really did exist, life would be easy for the anaesthetists. They wouldn't have to spend over a decade in study. All they would need to know was to be out of the room when the anaesthetic bomb went off.
What does it mean? Why is it so?